Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqin wa la udwana illa 'alal zalimin. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah waliyus salihin. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Inshallah, we'll continue with the Sirah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last lesson, which was the fourth lesson, today being the fifth, we mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to Ta'if and how he was, those who he went to did not listen to him, and in turn they insulted him and they threw stones at him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we mentioned that story of Ta'if in detail, and then we said that inshallah we will cover the story of the Isra' wal-Mi'raj and what transpired after that. Now all of this is before the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So after being harmed in Ta'if, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the Isra', with the night journey. This is a blessing from Allah. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah does not speak about it in detail, but he mentions it in his Fusul. And he mentions that this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That after having the difficulty and the hardship of calling the people in Ta'if, and still they did not listen, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that was harder for him than even Uhud, when his incisor tooth was chipped and his head was hit until he bled. That was in Uhud. And the Prophet considered being insulted in Taif and the way he was treated in Taif was worse. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thereafter Allah blessed him with this night journey. And the night journey occurred both by way of his body and soul. It wasn't a dream. Body and soul. قال ابن كثير رحمه الله وأسري برسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بجسده على الصحيح. That is what is authentically established by his body from the statements of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم والعلماء and by the scholars. This is exactly what Qadi Iyad mentioned when he said, "Al-haqq alladhi alayhi akthar an-nas wa mu'adham as-salaf wa 'amat al-mutaakhirin min fuqaha wal-muhaddithin wal-mutakallimin anha usriya bi jasadihi sallallahu alayhi." This is what the majority of the scholars mention, the majority and the salaf, the pious predecessors from the fuqaha, from the scholars in jurisprudence and hadith, they mentioned that the Messenger was taken up in a night journey by his body. And it was body and soul, it wasn't a dream. Na'am. And Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he mentioned also that in Al-Fath, Fath Al-Bari. And it occurred in one night, as Ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentioned. Fil yaqadah. Yani, while he is aware, awake. بِجَسَدِ نَبِي صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَرُوحِهِ بَعْدَ الْبَعْثِ. That it was likewise with his body and soul. And this is what the Jumhur, the majority of the scholars and the Fuqaha have said, he says. So he said exactly the same as Qadi Iyad. Both the scholars mentioned that, and other scholars have mentioned that. That أُسْرِيَ بِرَسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِجَسَدِهِ عَلَى الصَّحِيحِ مِنْ قَوْلِ الصَّحَابَةِ وَالْعُلَمَاءِ من المسجد الحرام إلى بيت المقدس. So the first journey was from Masjid al-Haram to Bayt al-Maqdis. And Allah said, سبحانه الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله. So from Masjid al-Haram, and this is actually one of the proofs that scholars say that the whole of Mecca is Haram. The whole of Mecca is haram because he was taken from his house. Naam. So they say all of Makkah is considered to be haram. Sheikh Rabi holds that position. And he says, except that which is mustathna, of course, the toilets, you do not pray in the toilets. But all of Makkah is haram, is sacred, and is considered to be the masjid al-haram, meaning that you pray in any masjid, you get the reward of 100,000. In any masjid in Makkah. And there are some narrations which mention that prayer in Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Ka'bah, that prayer in Masjid al-Ka'bah is 100,000. And so how do we understand this then? Shaykh Muhammad al-Banna rahimahullah explained it beautifully. He said, because we have this narration, prayer in Masjid al-Ka'bah, and we have another narration saying Masjid al-Haram in general, so how do we understand it? Shaykh Muhammad al-Banna rahimahullah used to say that all of Makkah is haram, is Masjid al-Haram, all of it you get the reward, except of course for the places that are mustathna, like the toilets. You don't pray in the toilets. But if you pray in any masjid, you get 100,000. However, if you pray in the Masjid al-Ka'bah, it's like praying in the first row. And if you pray in the other masajid, the further and further away you are, the further and further you are away from the first row. So you still get the reward of 100,000, but it's not like the reward of 100,000 in Masjid al-Ka'bah. Because that is like the first row. And the best rows are the first rows for the men. And the worst rows for the men are the back rows, of course, from the other narration. So that is what position we held based upon what Sheikh Muhammad Allah Arhamu and others that we have seen seems to be the strongest position and clarified beautifully in that explanation. So the Messenger was taken from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Then Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, "Min Masjid al-Haram ila Bayt al-Maqdis, rakiban al-Buraq." While on board al-Buraq, a fast form of transport, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with, fi suhbati Jibril alayhi salatu salam, with the companionship of Jibril alayhi salatu salam. فَنَزَلَ ثَمَّ وَأَمَّ الْأَنْبِيَاء. And he led the prayer over, يعني, leading the prophets at Bayt al-Maqdis. The Prophet ﷺ led the prayer. فَصَلَّ بِهِمْ. And he prayed, leading the prayer over the rest of the Anbiya, the prophets. ثُمَّ عُرَجَ بِهِ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَ مِنْ هُنَاكَ إِلَى سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. Then, in that same night, he was raised to the Sama' al-Dunya, going up to the first heaven. ثُمَّ الَّتِي تَلِيهَا. Then the next heaven. ثم الثالثة, then the third heaven. ثم الرابعة, then the fourth heaven. ثم الخامسة, then the fifth. ثم التي تليها, then the one after it. ثم السابعة, then the seventh. And each time is being opened for him. And the angels ask, who is with you, O Jibreel? And they would say, and Jibreel would reply, this is Muhammad with me. And have you been commanded to? Yes, we've been commanded to open for him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's been going past for each sama, each heaven. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been raised. Wara al anbiya fi samawat. And in these heavens, he saw the various prophets that are mentioned, and he gave salam to them and he moved on to the next, and so on and so forth. ثُمَّ عُرِجَ بِهِ إِلَى السِّدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. Then he was raised up until the Sidratil Muntaha. وَرَأَى عِنْدَهَا جِبْرِيلَ. And he saw Jibreel عليه الصلاة والسلام على الصورة التي خلقه الله عليها. Upon the creation, or the natural creation that Allah created Jibreel with. And we know that Jibreel had 600 wings. And one wing was enough to cover the whole horizon. So this is the night journey of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَوَاتُ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَةِ. And likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He obligated upon him the prayers in that night. So the Prophet ﷺ, he went on that night journey, and the difference that occurred between the scholars, he says, وَاخْتَلَفَ الْعُلَمَاءُ. Did he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, see his Lord or not? Two positions. Ibn Abbas, and this is reported from him, radiallahu anhu, that he saw his Lord, رَأَى رَبَّهُ. And that is in Tirmidhi and Nasa'i. Ibn Abi Asim mentioned it in the Sunnah. And Ibn Khuzaymah mentioned that he saw his Lord, وَجَاءَ فِي رِوَايَةٍ عَنْهُ رَآهُ بِفُؤَادِ. But what did he say? The explanation is he saw him with his heart. وَقَالَتْ عَائِشَ رَضِعْنَا. In Bukhari and Muslim, it's recorded that عَائِشَ رَضِعْنَا, she belied anyone who saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that narration is, as we said, in Bukhari and Muslim. So her and Ibn Mas'ud, both of them, radiallahu anhum, said, he saw Jibreel. And as in Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Qatada, radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah ibn Shaqiq, and Abi Dhar, radiallahu anhu, he said, سَأَلْتُ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He himself asked the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم directly, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ رَبَّكَ. Did you see your Lord? And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم replied, نُورٌ أَنَّ أَرَاهُ. That it is light that I saw. And in another, that is one word. In another word, in رَأَيْتُ نُورًا. And that is in Muslim specifically. So that is sufficient, Ibn Kathir says, in this mas'ala. That means the Prophet ﷺ himself already explained that it was light that he saw. That it was light that he saw. And he didn't see Allah with his eyes, because no eyes in this life, in the dunya, can see Allah. In the dunya. But in the akhirah, وُجُوهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٍ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. On that day, faces will be illuminated, brightened, looking towards their Lord. That is for the believers in the hereafter. But in this life, no eyes can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. And there's many proofs for that. That in this life, no eyes can see Allah. Even when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reply to him? That if the Jabal, the istaqarra al-Jabal, if the Jabal remains firm, فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي, then you will be able to see me. What happened? The Jabal did not stay firm, it crumbled. So Musa alayhi salam didn't see Allah. So seeing Allah is a blessing from Allah for the believers in the hereafter. As for in this life, no eyes can see Allah. In this life, no eyes can see Allah. And also, Allah mentioned, وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ هَذَا مَا تُعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ مَنْ خَشْيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ مُنِيبٍ أُدْخُلُوهَا بِسَلَامٍ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْخُلُودِ لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُنَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَ مَزِيدٌ. Again in the tafsir of this verse, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُنَ فِيهَا, they will have whatever they have in it, what they desire in it, in paradise. وَلَدَيْنَ مَزِيدٌ, and we will give them something extra. That mazid, in the tafsir of it, is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the other verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he said that they will be given Jannah, and al-husna, again, that refers to seeing Allah. These are different verses, all of them referring to seeing Allah on the Day of Judgment. But in this life, no eyes can see Allah. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was light that he saw, but he didn't see Allah. So therefore, there's no contradiction from what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said and Aisha radiallahu anha said. Aisha denied that anyone can see Allah with their eyes, and that is true. In this life, no one can. And so therefore, the scholars, Sheikh Rabi Hafizullah, especially in nice explanation of it that he gives, I think it's in his explanation of Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmad, a beautiful explanation there, or it's in Sharh al-Sunnah al-Barbahari, one of those two, that he explains, and he mentions a beautiful explanation where he says that it is not a matter of difference anyway, and none of them contradicted the other. Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he continues and he says that after the event of the night journey, the news became widespread. ولما أصبح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في قومه أخبرهم, he told them بما أراه الله من آياته الكبرى, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him from these great signs and this great event. Subhanallah, blessing from Allah. And I remember, subhanAllah, many years ago, we had the, subhanAllah, it's just the qadr of Allah, that we went to Unayza, when we saw Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimullah, the dars that he's given, the night that we went, is about Isra wal-Mi'raj. How beautiful that was. And I remember Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimullah, after he mentioned this, the story of Isra wal-Mi'raj, at the end of it, he said, look, the disbelievers, they belied the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But who amongst the companions was the firmest? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him, because the kuffar of Quraysh, they were trying to doubt. Look, your prophets, your messengers saying he went to, in one night he went to Bayt al-Maqdis, then in the same night he went to above the seven heavens. يعني يكذبوه. فاشتد تكذيبهم له. And they were, يعني, that increased. The lies that they were spreading increased also. The denial of that occurrence. وَأَدَاهُ وَأَدَاهُمْ. And they harmed them, those who, and their أَدَاهُمْ, their harm increased. فَشْتَدَّ تَكْذِيبُنَهُ أَذَاهُمْ. And their harm increased against the Messenger ﷺ and the Sahaba. But they stood firm. And the firmest amongst them was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq رضي الله عنه. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentioned that. He said the firmest, and there were two mawaqif or mawqifan li Abu Bakr as-Siddiq رضي الله عنه, to show you that he was the firmest amongst all of the companions رضي الله عنه. The first of them is this incident, the incident of Isra and Mi'raj. Because when this incident occurred, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, when they came to him to make him deny that such an occurrence could happen, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, if the Messenger said that, then we believe him. If he said that, then we believe him. He had no hesitance in accepting from Rasulullah. And that showed you that he was the firmest at that time. Ala tul, no hesitance. And the second time, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentioned, show you the firmness of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, is at the death of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That when Umar radiallahu anhu did not want to hear anyone saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed away. But Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he said to Umar to sit down, and that he was going to speak, and he spoke, and he said, whoever worshipped Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad passed away. But whoever worshipped Allah, then Allah lives, he doesn't die. And he said that statement, na'am, and he mentioned the verse that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not except a messenger amongst you. Is it that if he goes, that you fall back on your heels? And the Umar radiallahu anhu said, it's as if I heard this verse for the first time. For the first time in my life. It's as if I heard this verse. SubhanAllah, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq in that time showed how firm he was in defending the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also in aiding and also in affirming the aqeedah as-sahiha. That's where firmness is in the correct aqeedah and manhaj and the methodology. Firmness is not how eloquent you speak. Firmness is not how good you look. Firmness is not entertainment. Like you see nowadays, people, because of the number, they're trying to get followers, and so they, out of entertainment or out of making people laugh or whatever, they think that is the deen. That is how deen should be. No, it's not about that. Firmness is about holding on to the aqeedah, the sunnah, the true belief, and defending the truth. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, وَجَعَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَعْرِضُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى الْقَبَائِلِ أَيَامَ الْمَوْسِمِ. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued in his da'wah, calling the tribes in the times of, if you like, celebrations or times of that they used to, holiday times if you like, times that they would be free to listen. وَيَقُولُ مَنْ رَجُلٌ يَحْمِلُنِي إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَيَمْنَعُنِي حَتَّى أُبَلِّغَ رِسَالَةَ رَبِّي. And he would say, who is there amongst them, who is there as men, who will take me to their people, to their tribes, so that we can give them da'wah, until I give them that risalah, the risalah of Allah, the risalah of my Lord. فَإِنَّ قُرَيْشًا قَدْ مَنَعُونِي أَنْ أُبَلِّغَ رِسَالَةَ رَبِّي. Because Quraysh, they stopped me, they withheld me from giving the da'wah to them. They were harming him, they were against his da'wah, belied him, they persecuted him and his followers. But then when he said this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wants the da'wah to spread, and he's been commanded to spread it and to be patient. Ammuhu, one of his uncles, and that is Abu Lahab, he said, as Ibn Kathir here says, La'anullah to Abu Lahab, Ibn Kathir says, after hearing what the Prophet said, that he said, La tasma'u minhu, don't listen to him. Fa'innahu kadhab, for he is a liar. And the Arabs, they would gather together the tribes, and they would try to also belie him, and they would address him with the most horrible of statements. For example, they say, "Innahu kadibun, he is lying to you. Innahu sahirun, he is a magician. Innahu kahin, fortune teller. Innahu sha'ir, he is just a poet. A kadib." Lies upon lies that they would slander him with. يَقْدَفُونَهُ بِهَا مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ أَنْفُسِهِمْ, from themselves. فَيُصْغِي إِلَيْهِمْ مَنْ لَا تَمْيِيزَ لَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَحْيَاءِ. And those who do not have distinguished, they're not able to distinguish the right from wrong, they would listen to them. They would pay an ear to them, lend an ear to them. And this is important for us, Ya Abdullah. Don't lend your ear to anyone. Especially if you fear for yourself, you don't have the knowledge to repel the doubts. Ulama used to worry in lending an ear to the heads of the innovators who would bring doubts to them. So don't lend your ear to anyone that comes and speaks about the deen. Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمْ دِينَ فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. This ilm is religion, is deen, is your way of life. So be careful whom you take your deen from. Look at these individuals, they didn't distinguish between right and wrong. They will listen to these slanders against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they went with that. And this is lesson. This is a lesson. The Salaf, the pious predecessors, wouldn't go and listen to anyone. Like somebody may say, oh mashallah, there's somebody coming to Islam, Sheikh Fulan. Who is he? Sheikh Fawzan said, where did he study? Ask him where he studied. Find out where he studied. What did he study? Can't just sprout out from anywhere. Can't just come from nowhere. Has to have some sort of a lineage of what he studied and where he studied and who he studied with. You don't study, take your deen from anyone. Who is he? Man hada? Man ant? You should ask. Just anyone you listen to, and then he gives you bid'ah. He puts it in your heart, and you can't take it out. Because it's firmly rooted in your heart. Shubha. And shaitan comes to you by two ways. Shubha and shubuhat. Shahwat and shubuhat. Desires and doubts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the a'imma, the scholars, as those who are able to deal with the doubts and desires. They're the ones who are careful from this. They're away from this. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. And we have made them scholars, guiding others to this path. When they are patient, when they became patient, and without signs they are certain. Patient away from shahawat, away from desires, falling into sins. And yaqeen away from, certainty away from doubts. Away from doubts. And Shaykh As-Sa'd al-Hamla mentioned these two points. Doubts and desires. فَحْرِسْ لِفَهْمِكَ لِلْقَوَاعِدِ فَتَرْتَقِي بِالْعِلْمِ خَيْرًا مُرْتَقَى وَتَقْتَفِي سُبُلَ الَّذِي قَدْ وُفِّقَى. In the same قَوَاعِدِ الْفَقْهِيَّةِ he mentions, in other lines he mentions, that the ones who learn these قَوَاعِدِ, these principles, عِلْمَ النَّافِعِ, they're the ones who will be protecting themselves from these two deviations. Doubts and desires. Don't listen to anyone. Inshallah, those lines, if anyone can remember them, those particular lines, is in Qawaid al-Fiqhiyya, of doubts and desires. Actually, it's in Sayr ila Allah, sorry. Sayr ila Allah wa Dar al-Akhirah. Na'am, Sayr ila Allah wa Dar al-Akhirah. Which is another line of poetry. It's not in Qawaid al-Fiqhiyya, but it's in Sayr ila Allah. وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ, the path to Allah and the hereafter. Does anyone remember those two lines? Ya Allah, Bismillah, Jib. سَيْرِلَ اللَّهُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ. Bring those lines of poetry. What's the beginning of the, what's the first line? سَيْرِلَ اللَّهُ. Ya Allah, Ikhwan. سعد الذين تجنبوا سبل الردى وتيمموا لمنازل الرضوان وهم الذين أخلصوا في مشيهم متشرعين بشرعة الإيمان. These lines of poetry, Sheikh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, the Mufassir of Quran, the one also we're going through is Qasas al-Anbiya. He said they are happy. سعد الذين تجنبوا سبل الردى. They are happy, those who they left the paths, the lowly paths. وَتَيَمَّمُوا لِمَنَازِلِ رِضْوَانِ. And they sought the path of pleasure, pleasing Allah. فَهُمَ الَّذِينَ أَخْلَصُوا فِي مَشِيهِمْ. They're the ones who are sincere in their path. مُتَشَرِّعِينَ بِشِرْعَةِ الْإِيمَانِ. They are the ones who legislated upon themselves to take that path of iman. Path of true faith. وَهُمَ الَّذِينَ بَنَوْا مَنَازِلَ سَيْرِهِمْ. And they're the ones who built their path, the abode of their path, بين الرجاء والخوف للديان, between hope and fear to الديان, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's الديان? أنا الملك, أنا الديان. On يوم القيامة Allah will say that. وهم الذين ملا الإله قلوبهم بوداده ومحبة الرحمن. And they're the ones who their hearts are full of love for their deity, for their Lord. With the love, mahabba to Ar-Rahman. And the rest of it all talks about again the state of the heart. The state of the heart. Having tawakkul, having closeness to Allah, being free from sins, and being far away from falling into doubts. على كل شيخ ابن كثير رحمه الله says, وأما الإلباء فإنهم إذا سمعوا كلامه وتفهموه شهدوا بأن ما يقوله حق وأنهم مفترون عليه فيسلمون. So amongst them are those who did not listen to those doubts, and they understood from what they witnessed from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he is truth, that is haq, and that he is one that is slandered, and so they became Muslim. So now we're dealing with after the Isra wal Mi'raj, after the 10th year of Hijriyah, there was a period of 2-3 years before he migrated, because he migrated after 13 years of being in Mecca. So in that period of 3 years is the period where, alhamdulillah, even those in Medina, they heard about Rasulullah ﷺ, they started coming over in few numbers, small numbers. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْأَنصَارِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَدْعُ النَّاسَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَأَوْا أَمَارَاتِ الصِّدْقِ عَلَيْهِ قَالُوا هَذَا وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي تَوَعَّدَكُمْ يَهُودُ بِهِ. So they recognized when the Ansar of Medina, some of them, يعني not the true Ansar, the Sahaba themselves, I mean, when they heard about the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those they migrated, and they knew that what he was calling to was truth, and they knew that that is what the Jews, whom in reality, because the Jews were waiting for a prophet to come, but they thought it was coming from their tribe. And so when they heard that he's actually not a Jew like them, but rather is from the Arabs, they became jealous, and they had hiqd, and they rejected, except the sincere amongst them, like Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, became Muslim. And then many became Muslim. Qadima Makkata, from them is Abu al-Haysar, Anas ibn Rafi', and they came from Bani Abdul Ashhal, yatlubuna al-hilf. فدعاهم رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Prophet called them and they came. Prophet called them to Islam. فقال إياس بن معاد منهم وكان شابا, and he was young amongst them. يا قوم هذا والله خير مما جئنا له. This is by Allah better than that which we have come with. And he was being punished at the same time and harmed. They wanted to come to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and they were being harmed in that state. فَانْصَرَفُوا إِلَى بِلَادِهِمْ, and then they went back to their quarters and to the country, back to Medina. They tried, but when they were being withheld from going to see the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and being harmed, they went back to Medina, إلى المدينة. And then it was said also that same Iyas ibn Mu'ad mata Musliman, that he died a Muslim. And then some of them came after that, so they were coming in small groups. ثم إن رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لقي عند العقبة في الموسم ستة نفر, and then he met also in that Bay'at al-Aqaba al-Ula, that first oath of allegiance, 6 from the Ansar, all of them from Khazraj, the two tribes, the main tribes, Khazraj, Aws and Khazraj. The Khazraj tribe, 6 of them, and they are Abu Umama, and As'ad ibn Zurara, and Awf ibn al-Harith, Wahu ibn Afra, wa Rafi' ibn Malik, wa Qutbah ibn Amir, وعقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنهم, أن جابر بن عبد الله, فدعاهم رضي الله عنهما, فدعاهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الإسلام. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called them to Islam, and they became a Muslim. They became Muslims, and they called to that which is good, and they went back to Medina, calling others in Medina to this good. So Islam is starting to spread now more and more. In that period, Allah, look, 10 years torture, hardship, difficulty. After the Isra al Mi'raj, now many starting to come to Islam. Those who came from Medina, the first group, and they accepted Islam. And then they went back to their quarters, went back to Medina, and they called others. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْعَامُ الْمُقْبِلِ Then when the next year came, جَاءَ مِنْهُمْ إِثْنَ عَشْرَ رَجُلًا 12 people came. The six initially, أَسِتَّةُ الْأَوَّلِ, he says, besides Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, and with them Muhad ibn al-Harith, أَخُ عَوْف al-Mutaqaddim, one of the brothers of the one who came first, came. So you can see the brother giving da'wah to his brother. Allahu Akbar, the person gives da'wah to his brother. And this is how it should be. وَدَكْوَان وَقَدْ أَقَامَ دَكْوَانُ هَذَا بِمَكَّةِ حَتَّى هَاجَرَ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ And Dakwan, actually, when he came, this Sahabi, he stayed in Mecca. He stayed and for that period of the few years, 3 years, until the Messenger, or 2 years, until the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did Hijrah. And he also did Hijrah back to Medina, to his, so he got the reward for Hijrah as well. And he stayed with the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to learn. ثُمَّ حَتَّى هَاجَرَ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَيُقَالْ إِنَّهُ مُهَاجِرِيٌّ أَنْصَارِيٌّ And that was a strange one, because it was said that he is from the Ansar, but he is Muhajir as well. He's Muhajir, yani from the Muhajirun and the Ansar, because he's from the Ansar from Medina, and he waited until the Hijrah of the Prophet, and he also did Hijrah. So he's an Ansari Muhajir. And Ubadah ibn Samit, radiya anhu, came with them from Medina. That was the next six batch. With the first six, besides Jabir. وأبو عبد الرحمن يزيد بن ثعلبة And they are from Al-Khazraj tribe. And now two from the Aus tribe started coming. وإثنان من الأوس أبو الهيثم and مالك بن التهيان وعويم بن ساعدة And they gave bay'ah to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah. They gave bay'ah to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that time, fighting was not prescribed. They gave bay'ah to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَمَّا انصرفوا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ So when they went back to Medina, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent with them Amr ibn Maktum. And he sent with them Mus'ab ibn Umayr. رَجِلَ عَنْهُمْ Mus'ab ibn Umayr, The famous Sahabi who died in Uhud. Mus'ab ibn Umayr was one of the richest in his family. He was considered in his tribe. He was known to be from the richest of families. But his family rejected him, and he, radiallahu anhu, he left all those riches, and he was known from the well-dressed men. Yani with fine clothes, but he left that. In order to learn from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, when he died, they couldn't even find enough cloth belonging to him, cloth to cover him totally from head to toe. When they covered his feet, his face was bare. And when he pulled the cloth to cover his face, his feet were bare. Radiallahu anhu. And some of the Sahaba, after hearing about the killing of Mus'ab ibn Umayr, radiallahu anhu, they quoted that they are the real men. The verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are the real men. They are the rijal. لَا تُلِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعُنَا ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ They are the real men. The men, even though we all believe the Sahaba, they were the men. All of them rijal. And all of them Allah is pleased with, radiallahu anhu wa radu anhu. But Mus'ab ibn Umayr was seen in high esteem amongst the rest of the companions because of what he had, what he left, for what? For the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to be with Rasulullah sallam and to aid him. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had so much love for him that he sent him to teach the people in Medina, the Ansar of Medina. He sent him, radiallahu anhu. And this shows you also that deen is not based upon ignorance. Deen is about ilm, is about knowledge. That we teach. Teaching the book of Allah, the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is that which is noble, that is what is required. Not to speak with ignorance. And not to speak with emotion. Because this can get you into trouble. In fact, ignorance could be a reason for you to kill yourself and to kill others. And the proof the scholars of Medina they bring is, number one, the man who killed 99 men. After, he went to an ignorant worshipper, priest or worshipper, and he said to him, "Can I be forgiven? I killed 99 men." The man said, "No." So the man who killed 99 men, killed him as well. So what's the point? You know, first of all, kill him as well. I'm not going to get forgiven. So he made him 100 people. So look, one of the scholars of Medina mentioned that this is proof that jahl, ignorance, is a reason for you to kill yourself, to end up getting killed. Don't be ignorant. Gain knowledge, increase knowledge. And the second proof is the man who said, what's the second proof? Yalla, let's see. The man who had a gash on his head. Yeah, the gash was bleeding. And he asked, should I use water? Because he had to do wudu. Or he had to do ghusl. He had to purify himself. And he was told, yes, use water. You have to use water. And he died afterwards. And the Prophet was very angry. He said, "Qataltumuh qatalakum Allah." He was very angry that you gave this fatwa for him and it was a reason for him to die. So ignorance or not having knowledge about a matter and speaking about it could be a reason for you to kill yourself, to end up being killed or to kill others. So the Prophet he encouraged learning the deen of Allah, learning it properly. In his proper manner, ilm and nafi', and it was praised, and he sent out people to teach. Not anyone, like Abu Jama'at Tabligh, anyone, just stand up and give bayan. La ya akhi. Not anyone should give bayan, has to have knowledge. Like they said to one person, he just became Muslim. He told me, this brother from Poland, he went to Pakistan. And he didn't know, but he said, "I heard Muslim," so I said, "Muslim must be Pakistan." So I went to Pakistan. So when he went to Pakistan, the first mosque he's in is in Jamaat Tabligh Mosque. He's gone there to learn. This Tabligh Mosque, they said to him, "Brother, give bayan." He says, "I just came. I want to learn." I just became Muslim. "Brother, give bayan." Anyone, yaqi? And then afterwards, you know, he said, "I stayed there, but I was not comfortable because I want to learn my deen." Yes, they say iman, they teach you how to eat, drink, how to sleep. Jazakallah khair. But I want to learn aqeedah, the belief. So he said, he made dua to Allah. And in one morning, in the morning, he hears another adhan before their adhan. Because the Hanafis, they pray later, fajr. They pray before, just before sunrise. Which is a misunderstanding from them, because they think that this was the case of Rasulullah ﷺ all the time. Rasulullah ﷺ, the best prayer of Fajr is in the ghalas, in its earliest time when it's still dark. Not just before Fajr, but not just before sunrise, I mean. Yes, one or two occasions before sunrise, he did, ﷺ, but that wasn't the norm. The norm and the asal was to pray in the earliest time. But the Hanafis, they misunderstood this. That is the problem with, you don't make jam' of the narrations. If you have just one narration that you stick to, you're not going to understand the whole sharia. But if you take all of the narrations and then you analyze, then you see that Rasulullah, yes, at certain times he prayed just before sunrise. But in most occasion, the asl is to pray in the earliest time, and that is al-ghalas. In the time of al-ghalas, which is in the, when it's dark, still is just as the fajr comes in. That is the best time to pray Fajr. And so this brother, he said, "I heard Adhan always before their Adhan." Because he's hearing another masjid. He said to them, what is the other adhan that I hear from this other masjid? It's always earlier than your adhan. They said, oh, don't go there, they're bad people. So he said, if they said they're bad, they must be good. So he went to them and they taught him how to pray. It was brothers upon sunnah at that time. Then he's searching and then he found, alhamdulillah, da'wah of tawheed and sunnah practiced in England. He said, okay, where? Then he found out about Maktaba Salafiyya in Birmingham. And this brother now is in Birmingham. MashaAllah, tabarakah. From Poland. You know? But I've mentioned his story because of this matter here. He went to learn, and they said, come, brother, give bayan. Rasulullah SAW didn't do that. Give anyone to do bayan. Rasulullah SAW sent Mu'adh radhiyallahu anhu to Yemen to give da'wah to the people of the book. To prepare them, he said, innaka dahibun ila ahl kitab. And to teach them what? Aqeedah. Jama'at Tabligh, they say, brother, don't talk aqeedah. This is going to split the ummah. Ya khiyesh. Rasulullah said, go teach aqeedah. Explain to the people what Islam is. First pillar. Brother, we're all Muslims, brother. They'll say to you, we're all Muslims. We all say, la ilaha illallah. Yes. But what is the correct belief in la ilaha illallah? First of all, what does it mean? When you go to all these translations of Quran, they don't know even the meaning of La ilaha illallah. I saw two Sufi translations, two Shia translations, two Qadiani translations. You got Yusuf Ali translation, Pickford translation. This one, what's his name? Asad's translation. All of them don't know what La ilaha illallah means. There's no God but God. No God but Allah. That is not the meaning of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. The first kalima. The kalima to tawheed. And you translated it wrong. Look at the call of Rasulullah SAW. The context of Rasulullah SAW's da'wah. His context was to call to the people to worship Allah. And only one translation of the meaning of the Quran got it right. And that is the translation by Muhsin Khan and Taqiyuddin al-Hilali, which is the noble Quran, which you'll find in Medina, printed in Medina. Allahumma barik. These two great scholars, one in the Arabic language, who was the master in the Arabic language, Sheikh Muhammad Taqiyuddin al-Hilali al-Maghribi, rahimahullah. And the other one, so much effort that he translated the whole of Sahih Bukhari, as well as the Quran, rahimahumullah jami'an. May Allah reward them immensely for their great work. Because really, I've been through it cover to cover. And I have not seen any masterpiece, excellent, noble, lofty work in terms of the aqeedah. Because I've been through the verses in Iman Billah and Iman Bil-Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I've seen that this is the best translation of the meaning of the Quran in English. But still it needs updating in terms of style. Because it was written in 1980, in the 80s, or early 80s. So in terms of style, it needs some slight improvements. But in terms of aqeedah, it is the best. It is the best. Sahih International doesn't come close. Sahih International, again, la ilaha illallah, they don't mention worship. And when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal being above the arsh, they use the word established. But established, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, istaqarra, when the Salaf used it, they only meant, and yuhmal ala ish, ala two things, irtafa'a wa ala. Istaqarra means that Allah rose and is above. And it should have been better that they used that, because that is what Mujahid said, the student of Ibn Abbas, and Abu Aliya from the Tabi'een. Both of them said, and you find this in Kitab al-Tawheed in Sahih al-Bukhari, the last chapter, both of them said that Allah above the arsh, ar-Rahmanu al-arsh istawa, means irtafa'a wa ala. Allah is high, above, and He rose in a way which befits His majesty. It's the aqeed of al-Sunnah. But you ask many Muslims, where is Allah? They will say everywhere. A'udhu billah, don't say everywhere, ya akhi. Allah is not in bad places. Allah is above the arsh, in a way which befits His majesty. And He sees what you're doing, He knows what you're doing. Don't say everywhere, ya akhi. And then you get some of these so-called intellectualists. Brother, brother, don't say this question. Astaghfirullah. MashaAllah, you're better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith in Sahih Muslim, hadith of Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami. He asked the servant girl, Ayna Allah? Where is Allah? And she pointed up, fi sama', that Allah is above the heavens. And he said, Man ana? Who am I? And he said, You are Rasulullah. You are the messenger of Allah. He said, اعتقها فإنها مؤمنة. Free her as she is a believer. Allahu Akbar. That means to believe Allah is above the arsh is from Iman. And you're saying, don't ask this question. Prophet ﷺ asked it. You are not better than Rasulullah ﷺ. And this one, what's that one? The one in America. No, what's his name? Huh? Norman Ali Khan. May Allah protect us. He asked, when he was discussing this matter, he said, did the Sahaba ask this question? Did Rasulullah ask this question? Out of ignorance, he is asking now. Like he said, don't ask this question. Did Sahaba ask, did Rasulullah? You said to him, yes. He did. Rasulullah asked. And if you didn't read, it's in Sahih Muslim. And if you don't know who narrated it, it is Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami. And if you don't know the narration, is a long narration about the man, about the Sahabi, Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami, who just was new to Islam. And when somebody sneezed in the prayer, he said, Ya Rahmakallah. It's a nice narration. It's a big, long narration at the beginning. And then he mentions at the end the hadith, the narration of Ayna Allah. Then you get some people who try to be a bit clever. The innovators, they try to be a bit clever. They say, oh brother, there is another wording in Sunan Abi Dawood of the same incident. And that wording, the Prophet ﷺ did not ask where is Allah to the servant girl. He asked, Atashhadin, do you bear witness? So therefore, they say, look, it's contradiction. It's contradiction, they say. This one affirms aqidah, belief, because do you bear witness? Shahada is from belief. But whereas Allah doesn't affirm belief, this is the doubt. And Shaykh Al-Bani rahimahullah refuted this doubt. And the scholars of hadith refuted this doubt. Because they said, Prophet ﷺ could have asked both questions, where's the contradiction? He could have said to her, Atashhadin, and he could have said to her, Ayn Allah. Contradiction means the opposing, opposition. One says, Atashhadin, the other one says, La Tashhadin. This is opposition. But this one, and this one, there's no opposition. And Yahya ibn Ma'in, from the scholars of hadith, he said, we didn't understand the hadith until we gathered the narration from 30 different ways. Then we understood the hadith. Likewise, we gather these narrations. We don't, unless there is a contradiction. There's no contradiction. And so clearly, the Prophet, and to say, this one affirms belief, because it's atashhadin, do you bear witness? Of course we bear witness, Allah is the one that deserves to be worshipped. But also asking Ayn Allah is affirmation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ulu, ascension, that He is above the arsh. Because Allah mentioned it in the Quran. How can you say it's not belief? Allah mentioned in the Quran. Didn't the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that Allah azza wa jal descends in the last third part of the night to the lowest heavens, and he asks, who is there that is asking of me that I may give him? Who is there that is seeking forgiveness of me that I may forgive him? Didn't the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that? Didn't Allah say, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ? To him rises the good speech, and the good actions make it rise even more, even more. Didn't Allah say in the last part of Surah Al-Ma'idah, when Isa alayhi salatu salam, the people, they asked him, They wanted a ma'ida. Anzil alayna ma'idatan min as-sama'. They wanted a ma'ida from above. From who? From Allah. Even they knew Allah is above. And what did Fir'aun? Fir'aun knows where Allah is more than you, O Mu'tazili, Jahmi, Ash'ari. Fir'aun! Why? Because he said, Ana Rabbukum? Huh? Al-A'la. That's Fir'aun. It's affirming Allah is above the arsh. That Allah is high. So what is this? O Ash'ari, O ignorant ones. Why you say, don't say where is Allah? Oh, no man. No Ish, what's his name? No man Ali Khan. And we have so many of these. Yani, YouTube sheikhs, they keep coming one after the other. And each one bringing something new from bid'ah. May Allah protect us. It's not about eloquent speech. It's not about entertainment. It's not about verbal gymnastics. It's about deen of Allah. It's about قال الله قال رسولullah قال الصحابة. It's about affirmation of what Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said. So going back to the seerah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Sahaba came into the deen from Medina, and they went back, and they called others to Islam in Medina, and they gave bay'ah to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's a beautiful narration here. In the early time, that bay'ah consisted of the following. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bay'uni ala an la tushriku bihi shay'a. That was the bay'ah. First and foremost, do not commit shirk with me in anything. I ask you billah, all these new sheikhs that are coming, YouTube sheikhs, where is their harb, their warning, their war, and their tahdeer? The warning against shirk. First is the bay'ah of warning against shirk. Where is their warning against shirk? And bid'ah. Where? You find this other one, this one comes. Mufti Menk. Huh? It's like everyone is, no problem, everyone and anyone. The da'wah of Ikhwan Muslimin. Huh? If we correct mistakes, there will be no one left, and so on. What do you mean don't correct mistakes? Prophet ﷺ warned against errors before they even appeared. Prophet ﷺ also corrected mistakes when he saw that. He didn't leave the Sahaba to make a mistake and to carry on with that error. And that we all one, doesn't matter. We're all Muslim. Huh? It doesn't matter whichever color you are, whichever color, but which bid'ah, no. Bid'ah, no. Or error, no. Sahaba, when they said, oh, whatever you willed and Allah willed. What Allah willed and you willed. The Prophet said, Aj'altina niddan. Have you made me a partner with Allah? The Prophet didn't allow errors. When he heard the man giving khutbah and he made a mistake, he said, Bi'sa khatib al-qawm ant. Showing his, that he's upset and he's not accepting this error. SubhanAllah, Prophet didn't allow errors to continue. Oh, Mufti Menk and all these other ones didn't allow errors. It wasn't about just gathering the numbers. That is the way of Ikhwan Muslimin. The way of Hassan al-Banna, Ikhwani. That's just gathering the numbers. Sufi, Tablighi, Ikhwani, Takfiri, Kullu. La la la. This is not the way. Islam is about correction. It's about tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. It's about purification and education. Is there anything anyone go? No. It's about correcting. Such that we go forward with strength, with knowledge, with understanding. Not go forward upon ignorance, upon hiding the truth. The truth should be above all of us. Allah's speech is above all of us. The Rasul's statements is above all of us. Not like they say, the Ikhwanis, they say, نحن رجال وهم رجال. Sahaba are men and we are men. No. They were men, but you're not man. You're not a man. You're male, but you're not a man. If you go against the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, you're not a man. You're male, bas. So the bay'uni, they gave bay'ah to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you do not commit shirk with Allah in the least. وَلَا تُسْرِقُوا, and to not steal. وَلَا تَزْنُوا, and to not commit fornication. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ, nor should you kill your children. SubhanAllah. Killing your children. خَشَّةَ الْإِمْلَاقِ, خَشَّةَ أَنْ يُطْعَمَ مَعَكَ, fearing that they will eat with you. Fearing poverty. Don't kill your children. Fearing, this is what the Jahiliyyah people used to do. Especially the daughters. Is to bury them alive. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَأْتُوا بِبُهْتَانِ تَفْتَرُونَهُ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَرْجُلِكُمْ. Don't come with a buhtan, slander, over others. Don't slander, don't spread lies. وَلَا تَعْصُوا فِي مَعْرُوفٍ, and do not, if somebody does good to you, does a ma'roof, then do not return it with disobedience, with disobedience. فَمَنْ وَفَّى مِنْكُمْ فَأَجْرُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So whoever does good and does fine, does and he completes it with that which is good, his reward is with Allah. وَمَنْ أَصَابَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا فَعُوقَبَ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَهُوَ كَفَّارَةٌ لَهُ. And whoever does any of that, those sins, طبعاً other than shirk, shirk you'll be in the hellfire forever, أعوذ بالله, if you die upon that. But other than shirk, whoever does disobedience and he is punished in this life, then that will be an expiation for him. وَمَنْ أَصَابَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا ثُمَّ سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And whoever falls into that, these sins, and Allah concealed those sins for him, then that is between him and Allah. That is for Allah. If he wills, he punishes you. And if he wills, he forgives you. If he wills, because one of his names is a Sittir. And many of the ignorant, they say Satir. It is not a name from Allah to say satir. Sittir, yes. You can call upon a sittir. Ya sittir, usturna. Insha'a afa anhu wa insha'a aqabahu. If he wills, he punishes him. And if he wills, he forgives him. And that is the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu, Sahih Muslim. From the first of the bay'as, or from the early bay'as that were given from those who gave bay'ah to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Mus'ab ibn Umair was sent to Medina to teach the people Qur'an and to call the people to Tawheed. And he came upon the people of Medina and he called them to Islam. And then there was فَأَسْلَمَا عَلَى يَدَيْهِمَا, يعني عَلَى يَدَيْهِ Mus'ab ibn Umair and As'ad ibn Zura'ah. Both of them went to Medina and they gave da'wah. And many became Muslim. Kathir, basharun kathir. Many people became Muslim in Medina. From them, Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad, radiyallahu anhu. Wa aslama bi islamihima, yawma idin jami'un. Start the beginning, says, fa aslama ala yadayhima basharun kathir. منهم أسيد بن حضير وسعد بن معاد وأسلم إسلام بإسلامهما يومئذ. And even those who became Muslim, they learned and they gave da'wah to others who later also became Muslim. جميع بني عبد الأشهل, tribes, رجال والنساء, and other than them. Alhamdulillah, da'wah, the deen of Allah, was being spread, and it spreads with knowledge, it spreads with sincerity. They used to laugh at us here in Slough and say, look, you're praying in a warehouse. Before we were in a small place. But alhamdulillah, the da'wah has grown by the will of Allah. All of it is from Allah. But we have to continue. And we have to be sincere. And we have to try as well, call the people with knowledge, with beautiful preaching. And also with clarification. Don't go to... Go to any of our mosques. Clarify? Don't clarify. Pray and go home. That's it. Pray and go home. No clarity. You got prayer next to you. You got Sufi. You got Takfiri. You got everyone and anyone. No clarity. Imam just general. You know, be Muslim. Jazakallah khair. Everyone goes home. What is this? Clarify what Islam is. Clarify what Iman is. Clarify the injustice that Takfiris do when they go and kill innocent people indiscriminately in 7-7 and 9-11. They can't. Probably can't even speak the language of the youth. Don't have the knowledge to explain to the youth. That's why you have all of these ignorances. And it is, mashallah, mashallah. And then you see ignorance being widespread. This is what the Prophet has been warned against. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second, وَكَثُرَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِالْمَدِينَةِ وَظَهَرْ. Islam in Medina became much, and it became apparent. ثُمَّ رَجْعَ مُسْعَبْ بِنْ عُمَيْرِ إِلَى مَكَّةِ. Then Mus'ab ibn Umair went back to Mecca. And look, in those days, Mecca to Medina is not like now. He's going, and he's coming back. Allahu Akbar. Sahaba, رجال. Wallahi men. وَأَوْفَى الْمَوْسُمْ ذَلِكَ الْعَامِ خَلْقٌ كَثِيرٌ وَوَافَى الْمَوْسُمْ ذَلِكَ says موسوم ذلك العام خلق كثير من الأنصار من المسلمين والمشركين. Then they followed suit to Mecca to meet Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلما كانت ليلة العقبة الثلث الأول منها تسلل إلى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم 73 رجلا وامرأتان 73 men and 2 women would come to Mecca to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love that they had for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fabayyau Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they gave bay'ah to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khufyatan min qawmihim, in secret away from their people. Wa min kuffar Mecca, and in secret away from the disbelievers of Mecca, so they did not harmed. Ala an yamna'uhu mimma yamna'una min minhu nisa'ahum wa abna'ahum wa uzrahum. فكان أول من بايعه from the first of those who gave bay'ah to him, البراء ابن معرور وكانت له اليد البيضاء إذ أكد العقد وبادر إليه. وحضر العباس عم رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم موثقا مؤكدا للبيعة. And at that time also Abbas رضي الله عنه, the uncle of Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, who also affirmed that bay'ah, the bay'ah to al-aqaba al-thaniyah, ma'annahu kana ba'du ala dini qawmih, ba'uda an dini qawmih. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time chose as well parties to go out and to continue the da'wah to tawheed and sunnah. All of that occurred before his migration. Before his migration to Medina. And inshallah, tomorrow night we'll start the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what transpired in that hijrah. Aquli qawli hada wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum fastaghfiruh innahu ghafurur rahim. Tayyib. We have some books to give out. We have 5 questions today. According to the Sahabi who mentioned that narration in Sahih Muslim, Ubadah ibn Samit, what did that bay'ah entail? Yes, not to commit shirk. First thing, not to... What's your name? Zaid. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, Allah bless you. Yes. Huh? To not steal. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, yes. Not to commit fornication. Yes. Not to kill... Did he say daughters? Anyone else in detail? What was he saying? Yes. Not to kill the children. Come, come. What's your name? Omar, MashaAllah. Allahumma barik. Good, brave, inshallah, brave. Allahumma barik. Anyone else? Yes? Not to slander, yes. Buhtan. Spread buhtan. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and aid us. May our actions better than our speech. Qul qawli hada. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum fastaghfiruhu innahu ghafurur rahim. says, what do you advise a brother and sister who have trouble with ikhlas and his intention? Have trouble with ikhlas. Wallahi, all of us are battling this battle. I asked Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna rahimullah, is how do you become mukhlis? He said, when you find out, tell me. It's not easy. The ikhlas is a battle that each and every one of us is going to fight. The Prophet would do good actions and he would say, Allahumma la sum'a wa la riya. Oh Allah, without seeking to be known and without showing off. Allahumma la sum'a wa la riya. We have to say that. We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq. Whatever good is what He has given you. We're all in the same situation. None of us is guaranteed anything. Look, alim will enter. A scholar will enter from the first will enter the hellfire. A scholar. Why? Because he was not sincere. وَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِ لَمْ يَعْمَلًا. Because he didn't act according to his knowledge. You taught the people so that they can say he's أَنْتَ عَالِمٌ وَقَدْ قِيلٌ. And it was said. وَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِ لَمْ يَعْمَلًا مُعَذَّبٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ عُبَّادِ الْوَثَنِ. He's going to be punished before the worshippers of idols. So its matter is, all of us are in the same situation. May Allah forgive us our shortcomings. May Allah make us mukhlis, sincere in everything that we say and do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep shirk far away from us. We don't want to fall into shirk. A'udhu billahi an ushrika bika shay'in na'lamu wa ana a'lamu wa ana a'lamuhu wa a'udhu bika wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. And we seek refuge in committing shirk with Allah knowingly, while I know, and we seek forgiveness in falling into shirk unknowingly. Shirk, the Abu al-Anbiya feared shirk for himself. وَجُنُوبُنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ إِنَّ هُنَّ أَضَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ. Save me, O Allah, protect me and my progeny from worshipping idols. That is Abu al-Anbiya, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. So who cannot fear shirk, fall into shirk? Who can feel safe? I'm Muslim, I say la ilaha illallah. Who can feel safe that he will die upon that? Can't. So I have to keep the battle against shaitan, against falling into shirk, falling into deviation. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first one who fell into the hellfire, who will be thrown into the hellfire, alim, a scholar, who taught the people not for the sake of Allah, but taught, so he's called a scholar. The other one, he was generous. He was given charity. And he didn't do it for Allah's sake. He did it so that he can be called generous. حتى يقال أنه جواد وقد قيل. And the third one, he was fighting in a battle and he got killed and he died. People thought he died shaheed, but he'll be thrown into the fire because it will be said to him, you only did that, so it was said. So it is said that you are shaheed. And the one who fights, another narration, the one who fights because of some people, they fight only because they want to show they're skillful. That is not for the sake of Allah. The one for the sake of Allah, that you taj'al kalimatullahi al-uliya, to make Allah's statement, that is the highest. That you fight with ikhlas. No, you fight and you just want to be known by the people. A'udhu billahi min dalik. And you're doing such an act and then is in the fire. Because the state of your heart, go be sincere. God be sincere. Allah protect us. Wallahi, Allah protect us. Allah forgive us. Allah musta'an. Subhanaka wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.